Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray for souls. We want everyone to go to heaven, don't we? Father, we're crying out to you today for the eternal salvation of every boy and girl, man and woman, in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas, and anyone who's listening from different countries. We're praying for them. And not just for them, we're praying for all our past, present, future spouses, all the children we have now in the future and their family members, all grandchildren we have now in the future and their family members, all great-grandchildren we have now in the future and their family members. By faith, Father, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict each person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus Christ, please reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation, understanding by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And yes, Father, they'd humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord, being born again from above. Father, we pray you get every person into a good Bible-believing teaching church. They'd then be baptized in water, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Father, we're praying for every Christian to become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're crying out for every demon-possessed, demonized, and captive person to be set free. And yes, Lord, all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease. And yes, Lord, your people to receive financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And Father, we agree right now, and we do believe in Jesus' name. Also, Father God, we want to pray for our nation right now. We say, God bless America. Heavenly Father, we declare you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We declare that you're the God over America. We declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life, our families, our church, our states, and our nation. We declare that by faith. We pray for a sweeping revival, Father God, that turn the hearts and lives of people in America to Jesus Christ without compromise, and they would all be on fire for you. Also, Father, we want to thank you for your servant Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and all the cabinet appointees. We pray for them and their families. We pray that they are all, if not now, born-again believers. They would be Holy Spirit baptized and filled. And Father, we pray whether they understand it or not, they would make all their decisions based upon the Word of God and our Constitution, and you would give them great grace and boldness. Father, please continue to bless the Trump administration and the ICE agents. Expose and bring to light, Father, in this nation, every terrorist, every foreign soldier, every prisoner, every pedophile, every drug trafficker, every sex trafficker, everyone who is in America to do evil and harm would be brought to the light and driven out of this country to return no more. We agree in Jesus' name. Father, because of the prophetic words you've given, we cry out that for your continual hedge of protection and angelic protection about our power grid. Father, we cry out to you, please protect our electricity, our gas, our oil, our coal. Please, Father, protect our water tables, which includes the water in our wells and city water. Father, please protect our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. Father, allow no person, group, or nation to poison, hack, diminish, destroy, evil effect any of these resources. And if any person, group, or nation tries to do it, you'll shut them down and stop them, Father. And we agree right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we love and bless the Jewish people. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem according to your word. We agree, Father, they have title deed to all the land of Canaan. Please restore that land to them and bring that revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to the Trump administration. Father, we pray that the blinders and scales would be removed from the Jewish people's hearts and minds. They would see that Jesus Christ is their Messiah, that he is Savior and Lord, and they'd repent and be born again from above. And Father, we agree together, if anyone tries to harm the nation Israel or Jewish people in any way, shape, or form, you would stop them. And Father, if they persist in their evil against them, you would destroy them. And we agree, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Also, Father, I'm reminded, Father, we pray against any centralized digital currency in America until after the rapture of the church, and that dollar bills and cash will be strong until that time. And we agree for that also, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. All right. We're going to be talking today about fighting the good fight of faith. You know, there was an article my wife looked at, and the title was this: The World Banks Are Preparing for the Alien Disclosure. Okay. Now, what do the World Banks know about aliens? Well, I'm telling you, they know a lot more than you probably know. You need to understand the demonic realm is real. There are little grays. There are tall, slender demonic creatures that are here on planet Earth in the United States of America. There's demonic creatures. There's entities. There's demonic crafts that travel in the air. You need to understand God's word is true. Now, again, why I keep bringing this up? Because your children believe in aliens, but they need to understand it's not from another planet. It's from the demonic realm. Remember what God says? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we need to recognize that we are fighting against the devil. It's the kingdom of God against the kingdom of Satan. And if you don't understand this, especially once the rapture happens, and if any of your family members get left, those aliens will start appearing, and they will claim to have superior knowledge, and they'll get you to worship the Antichrist and go after the false prophet. I'm just telling you, you need to understand that realm now. We have authority over it. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to be fearful. But it's out there, and it's real, and it's just becoming more prevalent in the news. Because it's out there, and if you met one of those creatures, tell them in Jesus' name to get out of here. So it's just a reality. Just like the Nephilim back in Genesis 6, half human, half angel, because of that breeding from the holy angels with humans. In a certain sense, that's back, but it's just in a little different way right now. So know that. Teach your kids that these are demonic things. We don't have to be afraid of them, and we have authority over them in Jesus' name. So I just think that's so important for you to understand. Okay. Let's go on. Jesus is coming soon. Remember, one of the greatest enemies we have now is AI. And the Trump administration, God bless Donald Trump, recognizes that if we don't have better AI than other nations, they'll get advantage over us. And AI can shut down defense equipment. So in one sense, we have to be in the race of AI. The nation who has the best AI will rule the world, in a sense. Do you understand that? So we have to do it, but there's a demonic component to it, which just lets us know that even though the Trump administration is doing a good job about shutting down temporarily the one world agenda, still Satan's the plan for the end times is going forth powerfully with AI, getting ready for the mark of the beast and all sorts of different weird things. You know, I heard one of them in the prophecy conference say, pretty soon you're not going to need a cell phone. Your cell phone will be in you. No joke. Do you understand it? They're trying to make us into aliens. But that's another subject. Let's get back to our subject. But no, Jesus is coming soon. Get ready and get your family ready. If you're going to get ready, what are you going to have to do? 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Don't just get saved. Lay hold on eternal life. We'll talk about that in a minute. Into which thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, I agree. Absolutely. Once you're born again, you are born again. You have eternal life. It's a present possession. being born again. But let's break it down. You repented of your sins. You received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. And you began a relationship with Almighty God through His Son Jesus, and now empowered by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But do you understand the Bible perfectly? Do you know all about spiritual things? No, you've got to grow. You've got to lay hold on eternal life. Let me give you a good Bible scripture to help you to know what I'm talking about here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul's writing the church at Philippi, "Wherefore, my beloved," he's talking to Christians, "as you have always obeyed," that's a word in the Christian life. We are obedient, right, to God and to His word, okay. That seems to be a nasty word in some churches. Obedience, oh, we're under grace. Grace means you have faith and you obey God. Do you understand that? Okay. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." Notice what he says. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." None of your verses say work for. You can't work for your salvation. It's a gift of God. You couldn't afford it. It took the blood of Jesus to pay for your salvation. But now that God has supernaturally, by the Holy Spirit, regenerated your dead spirit man, you're alive in Christ, you're a new creature in Christ, now you work out what's been placed within you, salvation. You have begun a relationship with God. Relationships have to be cultivated. Fellowship, intimacy, talking to one another. Do you get it? Okay. Reading God's word, His love letter to you. You work out what you've been given with fear and trembling. So much for cheap grace, right? Good news, verse 13. "For it is God who worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure." And also in the book of Hebrews, and I try to keep this before people, and I thank a dear Baptist preacher for enlightening me this wonderful truth, the Word of God, and it's called the Doctrine of Perseverance of the Saints, that those who are truly saved will persevere to the end. Where's that in the Bible? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. "But Christ, as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." Those who are born again will persevere till the end. Verse 14, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." So those who are truly born again have a legitimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You may have some bumps in the road, but when it's all said and done, you're walking with Jesus. You persevere to the end. That's the people that are going to heaven. The born again ones, really born again. Love relationship, not perfect. We all fall down. Might get away for a little while, but in the end, you will come back. And before it's over, you will be serving Him. And yes, there are bumps in the road, and you know about those. But if you're going to be victorious, let me establish a couple, three things. Four, once you're saved, you need to know who you are. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I mean you need to see how God sees you. I want to share a few things from God's Word quickly, who you are if you're really saved. If you're really a born-again Christian, you've done business with Jesus. Now, you didn't get saved unless you did business with Jesus. Do you understand that? Okay. Once you get saved, and again, you're either a man or a woman, don't get me started, you're either a son or a daughter of God Almighty once you're born again. In 2 Corinthians 5, God tells you, you are now His ambassador. You're His royal representative here on earth. Boy, you're pretty important. Ephesians 1:1 tells us we're all who are born again saints. We're holy ones. We've been set apart from God. Sainthood is not something that happens that if you do a lot of miracles and are real good. You're a saint now by being born again because you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. That one denomination lies a lot. We will let it go. Also, Romans 8, you are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Yes, you're rich. Your daddy's rich, and you're rich. We'll leave it there. Also, 1 Peter 2:9, you are a priest. You have access to God, to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, as a priest of God. And you not only pray for yourself, you pray for your families, you pray for your loved ones, you pray for anyone that God tells you and shows you to pray for. You're an intercessor. You are a priest now. You don't have to go to college to be a priest. You're born again. Now, again, you're a priest in training. We grow in everything, right? But you are a priest if you're born again. Also, we'll talk about this today. You're a soldier. You put on an armor of God. You fight. I just read it. You fight. Oh, no, Christians just walk in love. And Christians are just tolerant. No, they're not. We do walk in love. But love is based on truth. And God tells us we're supposed to fight. So we will fight. Now, we don't fight over the color of the carpeting in church and split a church. Stupidity. But we fight against the devil and his kingdom. And we fight against evil people with the truth of God's word. And also, God tells us in Romans 8, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. You need to know that. And 1 John 4 tells us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're someone special now that you're born again. Okay. Also, you need to know whose you are. Not just who you are. Who do you belong to now? 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. God tells us this. What? Know you not that your body, talking about the body as ever Christian who is truly saved, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Woo! And do you know what Holy Spirit you have? The third person of the Godhead. You have the Holy Spirit who was in Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit who was in the 12. You have the Holy Spirit who was in the 70 disciples. Do you get the picture here? That's why you can do Jesus' works and greater works. You have the same Holy Spirit, only one Holy Spirit. Okay, but here's the point. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? In you. But that only happened when you repented of your sins and gave your life to Christ. Okay, you got the Holy Spirit. And I encourage you to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, that makes people mad, but it's true. And I was a Baptist preacher for 22 years. For a while, I did teach against it, but it's in the Bible, and it's true. Okay, read the book of Acts. Okay. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have of God? Here it is. You are not your own. You don't own you anymore. A lot of Christians don't know that. Verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Oh, yes, the precious blood of Jesus. You must be valuable. You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You gave your life to God. Some people think that they've actually got a ticket to heaven. That's nuts. God's not giving out tickets. You belong to Jesus by an act of your will. Lord Jesus, I've been living my life my own way in rebellion, doing whatever I wanted. I see that's not working. I see who you are, Lord Jesus. You are God. You died for my sins and rose again. I am giving my life to you. True of ever Christian. Now, again, we learn and grow in our understanding of being discipled. And baby Christians poop their pants. That's the best way I can explain it. Yes, we make mistakes. We learn sometimes through doing the wrong things. The devil's a pretty tricky devil. But we belong to Jesus. So you don't own you anymore. You really need to know that. In fact, Paul says in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall appear with him in glory. Oh, that's so good. Well, I don't know. I think I'm going a little different direction, aren't I? That's okay. And also, you need to understand, as a born-again believer, God has a plan and purpose for your life. In fact, we were at 1 Timothy 6:12. Let's just go to 2 Timothy. Start verse 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You know, spiritual gifts can be imparted through people laying hands on you. They can just be given by God himself, but there also is impartation. Paul had laid his hands on Timothy and given him a spiritual gift. But I want to paint a picture for you. Not everybody appreciated the spiritual gift that Timothy had. He got a little maybe shaky in it. So Paul went on to say this: for God has not given us the spirit of fear. There is a demonic spirit of fear. But what has he given us? Power, love, and a sound mind. I stand on that verse. When fear tries to come against me, it's a demon. Lord, thank you. You're not giving me the spirit of fear, but you've given me power of the Holy Spirit, love, your agape love, and a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. Come against that devil. So Timothy was being tempted to back down because of persecution. How do I know that? Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Remember, Paul got put in jail many times because he was a Christian. Okay. But be thou partaker, here it is, of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us. Yes, thank you, Jesus. And has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according, here it is, to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. This will blow you away. Before the world began. Do you know, before the world began, God knew that you would be born? He knew the day you were going to be born. He already had a purpose and plan for your life before you were born. Woo, baby. You're important. Once you get saved now, allow God to show you the purpose and plan he has for your life. And yes, not everybody will like it. The world, the flesh, and the devil. I don't even know if I'm going to get to talk much about that today. That's okay. We can do that later. But God has a purpose and plan for your life. Let me tell you a wonderful verse that Christians stand on, but we need to read two verses. Romans 28 and 29. This is a good word. And we know that all things, are you a born-again believer? Lay a hold of this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, Christians, really saved people. To them who are called, you were called. You wouldn't have got saved if you hadn't got called. Here it is, according to his purpose. God has a purpose and plan for your wife. And see, that's why it's so terrible when you murder a baby. You murdered someone that God allowed to be come into a woman's womb, and there was a purpose and destiny, and you killed that baby. You can be forgiven. You can repent. But you murdered that baby. And that's sin. Repent. And never support people who believe in abortion. Do you understand that? God has a purpose for every baby in every womb. Boy, we're going a little different direction. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, God knew you before you were born. Before planet earth existed, he knew you. Boy, God's big. He also predestinated to be conformed. Oh, so there's some conforming needs to go on in all of us, yeah? Conform to the image of his son, that we might look more like Jesus every day once we're saved, because he's working in us. He's reproving us. He's refining us. He's showing us areas of our lives we need to straighten on, up in. He's teaching us new things. That's supposed to be true of every Christian. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, I can see right now I'm not going to get to do much of the fight in the faith. We'll turn in next week for that. But let's jump to this then. Psalm 139. You're not sure that God, even as a Christian, is really aware of what's going on in your life and he's really concerned. Let me open your eyes here, or God open your eyes through his word. Psalm 139. David got this revelation from God. Enter into this. Here it is. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. And in every moment of your day, God has his eyes on you. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows what you're thinking about 24/7. Does it sound like he's invested in you? Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. You see everything all the time. Now that could be good or bad, depending on how you're living, but it's true, period. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all, altogether. Thou hast beset behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Wow. Did you hear that? Every moment of every day, 24/7, God had his eyes on you. Okay. Don't got much time left, so I want to go to another verse in Psalm 139. Notice this. For thou hast possessed my inward parts. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. God was watching over David and all of us in our mother's womb. He knew us. From the time, even before we were conceived, God knew us. But especially when we were conceived in God's womb, he had a purpose, a plan, and a destiny for all of us. Don't act like God is impersonal. God wants an intimate relationship with you that can only come when you repent of your sins and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. And you have the Holy Spirit, and now the Bible can make sense to you because the Holy Spirit is the best teacher there is, and you begin to grow in the Lord. And I guess we're going to look at the fighting the good fight of faith later. But do you understand that? In your womb, God was there. Boy, there should never be another abortion ever. And God made you a little boy, or he made you a little girl. The greatest abomination that has ever existed for someone to say, God did not make that little boy a little boy or that little girl a little girl. Woe to you. Repent. Get mercy now or you're going to fry in hell. Also, God made boys to fall in love with little girls and little girls to fall in love with little boys. And there's no exception to that. Anything else is sin and abomination. Do you understand that? And only because of the fall is that even a problem. Do you get the picture here? Okay. So much for fighting the good fight of faith. We'll get to that next week. I want you to go to heaven. I don't know you. Jesus wants you to go to heaven. He died for you. Do you know him? Let's pray. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. I repent of all my sins. Right now, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my heart and life and be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself to you completely, both now and forever. I belong to you and you alone. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.